Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now on Masechet Chulin Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet. About to take a look finally at the second Mishnah in this, the first parak of Chulin. And this Mishnah at least seems to be focused on what materials may be used for Shechita, something that we have already brushed up against a little bit in our earlier analyses. Hashochet b'magal yad. A magal yad is a scythe held by the hand, and it is somewhat curved, but one side of it is a flat blade, not serrated, and it could be used. Bitsur, which is a sharp rock, uvakaneh, which is a reed, shkitato ksherah, these are all valid. Now, hakol shochtin, which we assume means everybody can do shkita, which then becomes a little bit redundant to the first Mishnah. Uleolam shochtin, certainly unclear what that means. Uvakol shochtin, all materials may be used. Again, that's what we assume it means. Chutzim agal katsir, which is another kind of a scythe, which is very rounded, and the inside is serrated. And there's no way to use the backside. A serrated edge will not be valid for shechita, for reasons we'll see. Hamagira is a saw. Ashinaim is exactly what it sounds like, a displaced jaw of an animal that has teeth still on it. Ratziporin, which is a nail. Bnei shem chonkin, even though chonkin normally means choke, here it means they tear. Okay. Hashochet, diavad in lachatchila lo. Our Mishnah seems to be presenting materials that are only valid b'diavad. Bishtama magal yad, I understand why a hand scythe is only b'diavad. Dilma atan yavad b'idach kisa, because you may use the other side, which is serrated, so lachatchila, we don't allow it. Alatsur v'kane lachatchila lo, why can't you use a rock or a reed? Or meaning, watch the challenge. Bakol shochtin, listen to this brayta, bein b'tsur, bein mizchuchit, bein mikrumit shel kane. You may use lechatchila a rock. You can use glass, and you can use a reed. So lokasha kan betalush kan bemechubar. The answer is very simply that when do we say that you can use it lechatchila? That's when it's been uprooted from its place and is portable, like glass. When does our Mishnah say that it's only valid when it is bidiavad? That is bemechubar, when it's still in the ground. What we imagine here is a rock sticking out of the ground and bringing the animal near the rock and sawing the animal back and forth against the rock. Diamarav Kahana, Hashochet b'mechubar lakarka, we have a machloket, Rabbi Posel, Rabbi Chia, Machshir, and it sounds as if Rabbi Chia is Machshir b'di'avad, and therefore he would be the author of our Mishnah, and Rabbi would say it's invalid. Ad kon lo kamachshir Rabbi Chia l'b'di'avad, abalachatchila lo. Good. That works so far. We're going to get some more information that will make it a little bit less clear. B'mayu kimta, so we say that our Mishnah is k'rabi chiyah v'diyavad. Al ha'netayim akol shochtin ben b'talush ben b'chubar ben b'shav sakin l'mala v'savar ben mala mata ben shasakin l'mata v'savar ben mala mala. So we have a braita that says you can use anything, whether it's talush or mechubar, portable or in the ground, whether the knife is above and the animal's below or vice versa. Now, we'll get to that second half, which is problematic in a little bit, but let's think about the first half. This presents using mechubar lechatchila, money, lo rabbi v'lo rechia. Because Rabbi Chia, what did Rabbi Chia say according to what we think? Diavad in lechatchila lo, you can only use it b'diavad. Rabbi, if it's rabbi, diavad namilo, you can't even do it b'diavad. In other words, diavad is not valid. The answer is liolam Rabbi Chia. Really, that bright is Rabbi Chia. Vafilu lechatchila. He holds that mechubar can be used lechatchila, and his opposition to Rebbe, which is unusual, is diametric. V'hayde kemi palgi b'diavad. So why is there machloket that Rav Kahana reported about b'diavad? L'diacha kocho de Rebbe. In other words, they wanted to show you how far Rebbe is willing to go to say that even b'diavad it's invalid. But indeed, Rabbi Chia has a more liberal position than even the one presented there. V'amaniti niktani yashochet diavad in lechatchila lo. So who's our Mishnah? Mani lo Rebbe lo Rechia. It can't be either, because Rabbi Chia filo chatchila. Our Mishnah should say lechatchila you could do it. Rabbi diavad nami lo Rebbe should say you can't. It's not valid. The answer is the olam Rabbi Chia vafilu lechatchila. Really, Rabbi Chia. And this line itself is very problematic because it's not where we're going. What do we say? Because our question was who's the Mishnah, and here we answer anitin nektani yoshochet Rebbe he. The Mishnah's Rebbe. Akasha de Rebbe ad de Rebbe. How can Rebbe say that our knife, our rock, or our reed that are in the ground are kasher b'diavad, and Rebbe explicitly said that mechubar is pasul? So the answer is lo kasha. Kan b'mechubar mi karo, kan b'talush v'asof chibro. One is where it's in the ground and it never was taken out of the ground. The other one that was uprooted and then it was put back in the ground. So we now have the following three positions for Rebbe. Something that's taken out of the ground and is still out of the ground is good lachatchila. Something that's in the ground and never left is pasul b'diavad. Something that was in the ground and you took out and planted back in the ground is good b'diavad only. That's Rebbe. And that means that our Mishnah is talking about that sort of case where you took something out of the ground and put it back, like a rock or a reed. Now, how do we know that there's any reason to make such a distinction between something which was uprooted and replanted and something which was never uprooted? Titania, we do have support for that. Hashochet b'muchni shchitato k'shira. What's muchni is a wheel, and a wheel has the knife on it, so the wheel goes around with the knife. That's really not our issue. Our issue is this: b'muchubar l'karkach shchitato k'shira. Here you have a brayta that says that if something is mechubar, it's valid. Not sakin makotov v'shachat. But if you stick a knife into a wall, stick the haft into a wall, and use it, shchitato k'shira. If you have a rock sticking out of a wall or a reed that's grown on its own, then shchitato psula, it's invalid. Now, kasha nadadi, the brayta seems to be at odds with itself, because it said mechubar lekarka is valid, and then it said this rock sticking out of the wall is invalid. It must be that the mechubar that is valid is when you replanted it. And the mechubar that's invalid is when it was never uprooted. And there you see that distinction. Shema mina. Okay, Amar Mar, let's go back to that brayta. Hashochet b'muchni. Muchni is a wheel. Shchitato k'shira. V'atan shchitato psula. We have a brayta that says it's invalid. So lokasha ha-basarna de-pachra, ha-basarna de-maya. If it's a wheel that is moved around by hand, a sarna de-pachra, like a potter's wheel, then it's valid. But if it's moved around by water, it's a water wheel, then it's invalid, because that's not a person moving it. If you buy tema, you could even say, havaha besana demaya, they're both water wheels. In the case of a water wheel, would mean that you have the wheel sitting there in a dry bed, and then you open up the sluices to let the water out, that turns the wheel, and the animal's waiting there to get shechted. That's koach rishon. And koach sheni would be where the water was already going, and then you put the wheel in, and then you put the animal there, and the water that was propelling the wheel had already been in motion. And we have support for that. B'chihadar amar papa. Papa makes the following distinction in a much more heinous case. Haiman de kafte lechavre. A guy ties down somebody else. Va'ashkol alei bidka demaya. And then he puts him in front of a place where there's a dammed up area, and he opens up the sluices. Umit, and the guy gets drowned. Chayav, the guy who tied him there is chayav. Why? By taima, giri didehu. The water is like his arrows because he let them out. Da anibay. That's only koach rishon. Koach sheni grama baalmahu. If the water was already flowing, then it's basically a grama, and he's patur. We don't like this guy very much, but just on a technical level, he's patur. Now yativ rav acharei de Rabbi Chiya. It's an interesting story. Rav, who was of course the nephew twice over of Rabbi Chiya, had come to Eretz Yisrael and was sitting in back of Rabbi Chiya, who was his patron. Rabbi Chiya coming to Rebbe, and Rabbi Chiya was sitting in front of Rebbe, who was his Rebbe. V'yativ Rebbe v'kamar, Rebbe taught the following. Minayim l'shchita shu b'talush. You have to remember that Rabbi Chiya did not accept this position. So Rebbe said, I'll prove to you that shchita has to be for something that is not connected to the ground. Shinemar v'aykach et amachel v'lishchot. The first act of shchita that we read about in the Torah is Avraham about to slaughter his son. And he takes a knife, which is separated. So Amar Le Rav Le Rabbi Chiya. Rav turned to Rabbi Chiya and said, I didn't hear what he said. Maika Amar. Amar Le, what was his answer? Was, Vav Dichtiva Uftaka Amar. He talked about a little letter on a spoon. In other words, he dismissed what Rabbi said. Why did he dismiss it? Because Rabbi Chiya disagreed with the whole position. He said Talush is not a requirement. And therefore the Pasuk doesn't tell us that. And so he dismissed it. Vakra Kamar. So we're now asking, but Rebbe quoted a pasuk. The answer is Kras Rizute de Avram Kamashvlan. The pasuk is not there to teach us about Talush. The pasuk is there to teach us how Avraham was very engaged and invested in this act, even though it would mean the killing of his son, and that he prepared everything, including the knife. Okay, Amar Rava. Now Rava takes a general look at the issue of Talush v'acharka chibro, something that's uprooted and replanted, in three different areas of halacha. First of all, Pshita Talush Vasov Chibrolinyan Avodat Kochavim Havi Talush. In the context of Avodah Zarah, where if you worship something that is Mechubar, it doesn't affect it. I said it's clear to me that if you replant something, it's still Talush. If you bow to your own house, then the house is Asur, even though the house is all materials that were in the ground, then were taken around, reshaped, shipped over one place to another, and put together and are back connected to the ground. What's the rule? The rule is explicated in Parshat Re'eh, is you must destroy their gods that are on the mountains, meaning the mountains themselves are not the gods, because something that's Mechubar Lakarka can't be a god. And we discussed that at some length in Masachet Avodah Zarah. So as far as that is concerned, replanting something does not make it Mechubar again. Leinan Hechsher Zra'im, as far as making food, making vegetation liable for tuma, which needs three conditions to happen. First of all, it has to be uprooted from the ground. Second of all, it has to become wet with one of the seven liquids intentionally. And third of all, it then has to have contact with tuma. And what's critical is that the intentional watering has to either be on the fruit themselves or for something which is considered to be talush, as we'll see. So Rava says, for that, it's tanoi, it's machloket, whether or not replanting something makes it mechubar again. If you have a wall, and it's about to rain, and you turn a bowl over on top of the wall, and you're doing it in order to get the back of the bowl washed, that's considered deliberation, and therefore when water splatters off the bowl onto fruit that's sitting in a crate on the side, that fruit is now mukshar l'tuma, because you wanted the water. You didn't necessarily want the water on the fruit, but you wanted the water to get the bowl, meaning you were happy it was raining. But on the other hand, you wish it didn't rain at all, but you want to keep the wall dry, maybe the wall had wet paint on it, so you turn the bowl over just to protect the wall, then enan b'chiyutan. Then this water is not considered deliberate water. Now, we look at that Mishnah, and our comment is aguf akasha. There is an inherent contradiction by implication in this Mishnah. Amar b'shul shetudah chariz b'chiyutan. You just got through telling me that if you did it in order that the bowl should be washed, that's called the kiyutan. Habishul Shidachakotel, implying that if it was just for the wall to get washed, meaning you are happy it was raining because you wanted the wall to get washed, then Einzabhiyutan, which means the wall, which we built up by our hands, which means it's uprooted and then replanted, is not considered talush. It's considered mechubar. Mahadartani, Mishul Shidachakotel, on the other hand, you said if you're doing it to protect the wall, Einzabhiyutan. Implying Mahabishul Shiudacha Kotel, if you did it in order that the wall should be washed, Hareza Bechiyutan. In other words, washing the wall is considered to be a deliberate act, which is, or deliberate intent, which is significant here. So the wall is now Talush. And so Amar Belazar Tavar. Belazar said that you have to break the Mishnah in half. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. You have different authors. And Rava, relying on that, says, aha, the different authors disagree about whether or not the rebuilt wall is considered mechubar, that's the first position, and therefore anything you do for the wall won't count, or whether it's talush, the wall itself will count. Okay, now, parenthetically, and this is not part of Rava's calculus, because there's a student who speaks up, Rav Papa Amar Kulachad Tanahu, you don't need to split that Mishnah up, which of course is very much of a last resort. Say it's all one Tana, Habakotel Mara, Habakotel Binyan, it depends if it's a wall of a cave, meaning a wall that was always there, or a wall of a building that you rebuilt. Hachikamar. And here's how we should understand it. Hakofek ha'ral ha'kotu b'shvil shutudach. If you turn the bowl over in order for the bowl to get washed, tarez b'chiyutan. That counts. Ha'bishvil shutudach ha'kotel. But if it's only for the wall to get washed, enanz b'chiyutan wa'v'ar. That's talking about a rock wall. In other words, a cave wall. Something that was always there. Because that's mechubar. Aval v'kotel binyan, but if, on the other hand, it's a built wall, b'sholshol yilkeh kotel udeinu mechitan, only if you're doing it to protect the wall because you don't want it to get wet. But habisholsh yudach kotel, if you're doing it in order for the wall to get wet, arizu mechitan. So according to Rav Papa now, everybody agrees that it is considered talush, and the only thing that would be considered mechubar would be a cave wall, which we all understand is mechubar. Which means so far, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and likely when it comes to Hechsher Zra'im, replanting something does not make it mechubar. Now, by Rava, then Rava then asked the question that's at the core, heart and soul of our sugya. Talushu lasof chibro le'inyan shchitamai. What about shchita? Toshma hayat tzor yotze min hakotel. So they bring our brayta. It's invalid, which seems to prove that replanting something makes it mechubar again. So the answer is, you're talking about a rock that's sticking out of a wall where the rock's always been there. And dekanami, I could prove it to you because what are the two things set parallel? A rock sticking out of a wall or a reed that went up on its own. Shma minaf, went up on its own, that means that it is something that is in its original place. Same thing with the rock. Toshma, let's try this. Not sakin bakotov shachat bashkitatok shira. We saw in that same brayta that if you stick the haft of a knife in the wall and use it for shkita, it's valid, which again proves that it's talush. So shani sakin vom vatale. The answer is, and this cuts to the core of the issue of why replanting something might make it mechubar again, because you're nullifying it to the ground. You're putting it in the ground and you're saying, I'm leaving it there forever. So he said, but a knife wouldn't work that way, because when you put a knife in the wall, you're not being mevatel the knife to the wall. The opposite. You want the wall to be sort of the anchor for the knife. Okay, Amar Mar, let's try this. Toshma, sorry, mechubar lakarka, shchitatok shera. We said in that same brayta, if you use something mechubar, it's good, which seems to prove that if you replanted it, it's still talush. So dama pirusha k'mafarish la. No, maybe that line is just explaining about the knife. My mechubar lakarka sakin, dama vatale. Meaning the only kind of mechubar lakarka that's valid is something where you really have not nullified it to the ground like the knife. Okay, amar mar naatz sakin makot v'shachatpa. Let's go back to the knife that was stuck in the wall. That's only if the knife is up and the animal is underneath it. But if you have the animal on top, there's every reason to think that since you're not holding the knife being held in the wall, and you have the animal, you're going to lower the animal on it, the animal's going to put pressure on it, which means it put pressure on the simanim, and that is a violation of durasa or durisa. That's one of the five psulim. Wait a second. I told you we'd get back to this. We said in that brayta that whether it's talush or mechubar and whether the animal is above it or below the knife, it's valid. So Rav Zvid, it's tading tani. Rav Zvid says that brayta is distributive, which means it says talush and mechubar, whether it's up or down. Up or down don't necessarily apply to both talush and mechubar. Meaning, sakin lamata savar be'malamala, when the animal is above, then that's betalush, only if the knife is off, which means you're holding it. Sakin lamala, but savar be'malamata, but when it's the opposite, and the animal's underneath, b'mchubar, that could even be b'mchubar, and that's when you would need the knife to be on top. Rav Papa Amar be'ofet ha'kalil. He said, no, maybe that brayta is referring to a bird. A bird is very light, won't put pressure on the knife. Just to finish up a little bit here of what we talked about earlier, we mentioned the reed. So they kind of as a convenience here mentioned that there are five different things that we learn about reeds. One, ein shochtinba, you can't use it for shchita. That's our piece, except that we said we could and we'll deal with that. Ein malinba, you can't do milah with it. We're not going to discuss it. It's very simply dangerous. Ein machatchinba basar, you can't use it to cut meat. Again, it's dangerous. There it's because shards of the reed might get into the meat. Ein machatzinba shinaim, you can't use it to clean your teeth. Same problem. Ein makanchinba. Makanchinba means you can't wipe, and we assume that that is after eliminatory functions. Now, again, for the same reason of danger. Now, ein shochtin ba, let's take a look. V'atanya makol shochtin, our brayta that we've been dealing with says you can use a reed to shecht. Amar papa, v'simuna da'agma. There's a particular kind of reed that may be identified as a carex, which, when dried out, really does become strong enough and hard enough to do shechita with. That's the one that our brayta dealt with. But this general statement is, a regular reed cannot be used, may not be used for shechita. Ve'ein machatchin ba basar, why not? So, because of danger. Papa machatech ba kire dagim. He used to cut the innards of fish with this. Why the zigi? Because they were translucent, and you could see if shards would come through. Rahana machatech ba ofa derachich. He would use it to cut a bird, because a bird's very soft, and there's no problem that'll cut out. Ein mekanchin. By the last thing was about wiping. Tepig lemishum da amarah. Kenech v'dorah ha'oshor shalatet bo shinav no shrot. Some terrible rectal pain will happen if the sphincter may fall out or something, if you use something to wipe which is flammable. And so therefore, you don't need to specifically talk about a reed after all is flammable. So, Rapapi, can you ask Pimaka, Kamrina? No, we're not talking about that kind of wiping. We're talking about wiping up the top of a wound, wiping off the blood and the, whatever other stuff might be there. And the reason, of course, is the same thing, the danger that shards of the reed will get in. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We're going to take a look at another take on our Mishnah, in the next podcast. In the meantime, I should have a wonderful day.